Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. We are wrapping up our week talking about Jesus. I mean, of course, we're always talking about Jesus, but we're examining in Luke chapter 4, Jesus's mission. What are we seeing? And as I've expressed, and I encourage you to go listen to the full week. We've gotten through a handful of verses in Luke chapter 4 where Jesus is standing up in the synagogue and he's proclaiming through the book of Isaiah his mission. And I just, in this new year, I just became obsessed with being like, what does it mean to seek God? Jesus, I want to seek you. I want to know you. I want to know you in such a detailed way. And as I began to read the Gospels, I just was pummeled over, like literally having to stop after a couple sentences with how much it says Jesus was with the people. Jesus was proclaiming good news to them. Jesus was healing them. Word about him was going out. They listened to him. Like, just like he was always with the people doing this mission. People were coming to him. They were crowding up behind him. They were desiring to be close to him because he had something that people were desperate for. And my question to myself, my question to you, as you're listening, as you're reading God's word, is like, Jesus just in your life? Is Jesus just part of your vision? Or are you engaging with and encountering the Jesus that changed the course of human history? Jesus that came and disrupted the world, the Jesus that came on the scene and everyone's saying, who is this man? And I think sometimes in modern society, we don't grasp what really happened because we live in a world where it's kind of like, okay, Jesus is your thing and he's not really my thing, but like, good for you. And then we begin to function so privately. We're just like, yes, Jesus is in my heart and like, I love him and here he is, all this kind of stuff. And so he's just there. And then we don't actually, what I'm trying to get at is we don't anticipate the power that he could have for somebody else that does not yet know him. That Jesus is so powerful. He's God. He's God. And that same magnetic, disruptive, life-changing power he had when he encountered people back then, when people touched him, when people came close to him, when people heard his word, the same thing happens now. And the same thing can happen now. And God wants us to raise our expectations. We're not dealing with a tamed, watered down Jesus. That, oh, the Jesus when he was on earth, he was just so awesome and he's so epic and he was healing and he was helping people overcome their brokenness and all this different kind of stuff. But now that he's up in heaven, he's just like chilling by the Father and he's just like saying like, oh, like your life is so great, da da da, all this kind of stuff. But no, he's just as powerful. He's just as magnetic. He's just as life-changing. He's just as transforming. You know, I was watching some talks from a conference that was happening, and there was a guy that was just doing the opening prayer, and he was talking about how he had been at this particular conference like 27 years earlier. And he was saying, I was there as a college student, and I was listening to the preaching, and there was an older man preaching, and honestly, he's like, I wasn't smart enough. I wasn't theological enough. I wasn't understanding really what he was saying, truly. But as he was preaching God's word, he was saying the words of Jesus. And as it came, the Holy Spirit came upon me. And from the inside out, the Holy Spirit began to burn away everything in me that was not of God. And God's word began to possess me. This is what we want to happen. This is a supernatural encounter with the living God. This happened to people when they encountered Jesus. They came before him and they were like, whoa, he's speaking with so much authority. He's so powerful. He's so truthful. He's healing. Who is this? Who is this? And what I want for us, friends, is to read God's word, to encounter Jesus, to go before him in the Eucharist and adoration, to receive him and to say, who is this man? The one who has come, he's changing everything in me. Who is this man with the power over life and death? So let's go ahead and let's pray and then let's read, and we're going to wrap up Jesus' mission this week. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, You are still walking and talking on the earth today. You are still changing lives today. You are still moving in power. You are not sitting at the Father's right hand tame and letting everything just happen and just with no interest in our lives. You are powerful. You are moving. You are working. You are a big God who is about big things and transformation, even in spite of our brokenness, even in spite of our hopelessness, even in spite of our pain. This is who you are. So show us. We want to see. We want to know you. Not the image that we have of you. Not the parts that we're comfortable with. We want to know you. We want to move in your power. Come, Lord Jesus, right now. And we open our hearts to you and whatever it takes, whatever you need to move, whatever you need to burn away, whatever you need to heal, do it. Do it for your glory. Do it for your name. Do it for your renown. So that we can see you and encounter you as the one true living God, not this image of you that we've conjured up. We ask all of this in your most holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, let's read down. We're going to be 14. I think we're going to read through 24 again. Luke 4. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And a report concerning him went out through all the surrounding country. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And he went to the synagogue, as his custom was, on the Sabbath day. And he stood up to read, and there was given to him the book of the prophet Isaiah. He opened the book and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recover the sight of the blind, to set liberty to those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke well of him and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" And he said to them, "Doubtless you will quote me to this proverb, 'Physician, heal yourself. What we have heard you did at Capernaum, do here also in your own country.'" And he said, "Truly I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his own country." There's, again, so much here, and I don't even think we're going to get through Jesus' mission, but we talked yesterday about he comes. This is from Isaiah 61. It's a prophecy that Isaiah gives. In a time of great trouble for Israel, that there be one will come that will be, Isaiah's talking about himself, but also we know this is a messianic prophecy. And it's really interesting because these things that Isaiah is saying, preach the good news to the poor, proclaim liberty to the captives, recover sight to the blind, set liberty to those who are oppressed, and proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord. When the Jews would have heard this from Isaiah, and when Jesus would say also like, this is fulfilled in your coming, when they heard this, they would immediately think of this Jubilee year. You probably heard of this in 2025. We're in a Jubilee year. People talked a lot about this. The Jubilee symbolized hope for deliverance. And many expected the Messiah to really inaugurate the final Jubilee. It carried political overtones, spiritual overtones, and really social overtones. This is partly why Luke 4 is so explosive, what we just read, and we're going to get to this. And the Jubilee and the prophets, they would have known in a Jubilee year, multiple things happen, that people are released to their land debt. They're no longer, there's no longer land and debts. People are released from their debts. People are freed from exile. There's healing of hearts and there's restoration of the covenant. So there's all of these things, like every 7 years, the ground lays fallow again, and it's a way to like reset. And it's overall, the Jubilee is about freedom, that people are released from their debts. They're released from captivity. And so there's a way that Isaiah is saying there will be a Jubilee. And people are thinking of the Messiah. They're saying the Messiah will inaugurate the final Jubilee that is to come. He sent me to release the captives, to be set free, to recover the sight of the blind, to set free those who are oppressed and proclaim that this is the year of the Lord's favor. And I love this. It says the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And when I read that, friends, I don't know if you hear it in my voice, it moves me in the power of the Spirit. Because every second that Jesus walked on the earth, eyes were fixed on him. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. All eyes were fixed on him. And as they're fixed on him, he says, what I just read, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the good news, that what Jesus is saying in the scripture is that there will be one who will come and he will preach the good news to the poor. He will set the captives free. He will recover sight to the blind. He will set liberty to those who are oppressed, and he will proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He's saying what I just read is fulfilled today. It is fulfilled in me. I am the one. I've come to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to give sight to the blind, to free those who are oppressed from oppression, and proclaim that the year of the Lord's favor is here. I have come to inaugurate the final jubilee in which God comes to save his people. And what I love in the scriptures is he goes out and he does this chapter after chapter after chapter. He's healing people. He's preaching to people. He's setting free their hearts that are oppressed. They're encountering the living God. And what I'm so afraid of, friends, is that in this time we're reading things, we have to read this, and as we read it, we're like, oh, that was God, what God's doing in that time. God doesn't know my brokenness. And we're minimizing the greatness and the power of what God wants to do in our lives, because we're like, oh, that was back then, and I'm so broken, and I'm so weighed down by what's going on with me, and I'm so hopeless, and I'm looking inside of myself, and all I can experience is the depths of the hardship of my circumstances. Trust me, Jesus already knows. And that's the place where he's called you, and he's coming to say, he's saying to you as you hear this, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. I was healing back then. I was proclaiming the word back then. I have come to usher in the final jubilee. And to you, he's preaching good news to you. He's saying, I am releasing you, the captive. I am restoring your sight. You are oppressed by sin and brokenness. You may not be actively seeing all the healing you want to see, but the anointed one is with you. And he's saying, this is what I've come to do for you. This scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. It's fulfilled. And even furthermore, we don't have all the time to get into it, but he's saying it's fulfilled. And as ones who believe in him and are baptized and walk with him, we participate in his mission to preach the good news, to release captives. So we come and he gives this to us. He does this to us, and then he sends us out. So here's what I want to encourage you as I leave you this week. Your brokenness is not too big. Your circumstances is not too big. Pray bigger prayers. Get bigger expectations. Your healing might not come how you want it. Things might not look how you want them to look, but you are in relationship with the Anointed One of Israel, and the scriptures are fulfilled in his embodiment. It's fulfilled in him. And he will set you free. He will bring you good news. And he will give you sight. God bless you, friends.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.